Grace to you and peace in the name of our triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Perhaps there is no more misunderstood nor more sensitive issue in the church than the giving of offerings. You know, few pastors like to preach about it, and I think even fewer members ever like to hear about it. And yet, it lay at the heart of our relationship with God. Somehow the subject of money and offerings always makes folks a bit squeamish and a bit uncomfortable. And that's too bad, because it's not supposed to be that way. In fact, it should be a source of great joy and great satisfaction. It should be one of the aspects of our Christian lives that brings us the most satisfaction and contentment. Now, that may sound really strange to you, but it's true. I want you to think about something for a minute. Why do you give gifts to your children, or to your spouse, or to your parents, or your friends at like Christmas time, or maybe for their birthday, or for anniversaries and such? Now, I'm not talking about the gifts you give to someone you work with or an acquaintance, that they give you a gift and then you feel like you have to give them a gift back because they gave you one, just kind of an obligation. I'm talking about the gifts that you give to people that you love. I mean, really love. The people in your life that are the most important people in the world to you. Why do you give them gifts? Why do you spend your hard-earned money and go out of your way to go shopping, and then you take the time to wrap the gift, and then you go and present the gift? Isn't it because you, when you give that gift, receive great joy and great satisfaction from seeing that person that you love so excited and so happy and thrilled with the gift that you have given to them? Now think about it, guys, back years ago when you proposed to your wives, why did you spend probably more than you could even afford on an engagement ring for her? For women, why do you go out of your way and buy him that expensive grill that he always wanted? Why do we buy that playset for our kids? Or as they get a little bit older, perhaps the car for our teenager or whatever, even though you know you really probably shouldn't, can't afford it? I think we do it because when you love someone, there is no greater joy than to do things for them that bring happiness to their lives and puts a smile on their face. When you are deeply, madly, hopelessly in love with someone, giving to them is never seen as a duty or a chore or a necessary evil. But rather, we see it as an amazing privilege and honor. And thus, we probably need to reflect a bit upon our own attitudes about the giving of offerings and such to the Lord. You know, is it something that we consider an amazing privilege and honor? Or is it something that we regard as kind of a duty, a necessary evil, part of just being part of a congregation, something that you have to do? And if it's more of the latter than the former, if it is to us more of a duty than an honor, then what does that say about our relationship with God? In our Old Testament reading today is recorded words from Moses, words that he is speaking to the people of Israel as they are preparing to enter into the promised land. And in these 11 verses of our Old Testament reading today, Moses reminds us six times in 11 verses, that the land they are about to receive had been given to them by the Lord. They didn't earn it, didn't win it, didn't work for it, didn't even inherit it. They were simply being given it by God. It was a gift to them from Him because of His great love for them. God gave it willingly and happily. Because that's what someone does when they are in love. In response to God's great love for them, Moses then calls the people to return to the Lord from the first fruits of the land that they would receive. In so doing, they would be reminded all the time that what they had coming to them from the land was a gift to them from the grace of God. And it wasn't simply the product of their own hard work. For as Moses reminded the people in Deuteronomy 8, he said, "It is the Lord who gives you the ability to produce wealth." Returning to the Lord from the first of their fruits consistently and continually would help them to remain both humble and grateful. And then such an attitude would strengthen their faith and strengthen their love in the Lord. But I think perhaps that's part of the reason why many Christians tend to give rather sparingly and reluctantly. Because unlike the words which Moses spoke to the Israelites, many of us tend to forget the giftness of the things that we have in our lives. We fall into this trap that Moses warned the people about. A trap of saying, and he wrote, "And my power and the strength of my hands have produced this wealth for me." You see, in selfish pride rather than grateful humility, it's very easy for us, especially as the devil is in our lives tempting us, to begin to credit ourselves for the house and the home that we own, maybe even the happiness that we have. And such selfish pride never, never leads to love-filled generosity. Selfish pride leads to reluctant, resentful, and often very reserved giving. Thus, it's good for us to remember that the first fruits giving that Scripture calls us to is not to be given by us back to the Lord primarily in response to what He has given to us, but rather for what He has done for us. Our offerings each week or each month or each paycheck or however you've decided to do it are not first and foremost a way of paying God back, so to speak, for the physical blessings, which are many, that He has put into our lives. Our offerings are not a sort of 10% tip that we are giving to God for His taking care of us. Our offerings are a loving response, a way to say thank you to God for what He has done for us in and through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, His death on the cross and His resurrection from the grave. In humble gratitude, we willingly and happily return to the Lord from what He has given to us to thank Him that He went to a cross to die for us to forgive us of our sins, that He has bridged the chasm that existed between us and God through His death and resurrection. And He has prepared now, as He's gone into heaven before us, prepared a life for us in eternity where we will, as we said last week in our message, see God face to face. A life in heaven in eternity where there will be no more mourning or crying or pain or sorrow, where every single one of our tears will be wiped dry. And you see, no matter how hard you work in this world, and no matter what you do to take care of yourself and your family, you can never look at all of that which God has done for you through Jesus Christ. You can never look at that and say, the power of my hands and the strength of my being has produced this wealth for me. You see, it is and always has been. It always will be the gift and the grace of God. 2 Corinthians, Paul reminds the people there in Corinth, he said, God loves a cheerful giver. I pray that we would each become that kind of giver. May we willingly and joyfully, consistently and continuously, humbly and generously return to the Lord, not simply because of what He has given to us, but also and especially because of what He has done for us. To God and God alone be the glory. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen.